Joshua chapter 3, if you'll turn there. And didn't Dallas do a great job last week taking us through chapter 2 and taking that subject of how that our faith has to do those four things. And I'm excited about it. We got to hear the first point of the message, and he had texted me early in the week and said, here's my other 3 points. So I knew where he was going with his message, and I was so excited to hear that. But today we're going to jump to chapter 3. And we're going to skip just a little bit because I really feel like I want to preach a message on going after the ark. Probably maybe next week we'll see, but I do want to preach to you about going after the presence of God. Amen? And that's what verses 1 through 4 is about, is going after the presence of God. And I'll read, if you're Joshua chapter 3, I'm going to read. And if you'll put a marker, put your stringy dally in Mark chapter 5. Go ahead and put your stringy dally in Mark chapter 5, and we'll get there a little bit later in the message. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1, if you're there, say, I got it. Well, that was weak. I'll let those pages or get your tablet loaded. Amen. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from the acacia grove and came to Jordan. And again, that's the river. We're going to eventually get to these guys crossing the river. How many of you know if you're going to possess the land, you're going to have to cross some things. You're going to have to get across some barriers. Amen? Amen? Man, you guys are either still, where's Joshua? Genesis, Exodus? And so it was, verse 2 of Joshua chapter 3, and so it was after 3 days, that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord our God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and do what? Go after it. Man, that's going to be a great message. That's not today's message. Therefore, yet there shall be a space between you and the ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Wow, isn't that powerful? That we need to follow the presence of God because we have not passed this way before. God is getting ready to do something absolutely awesome. Because why? God is awesome. Now we get to our text today. Verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, to these a million, we don't know how many by this time. Again, how big has the children of Israel gotten since 40 years later have passed that they wandered around in the wilderness? How big is this tribe of Israel after 40 years? And it was a million strong at least when they left Egypt. And Joshua said to all the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. Everyone say wonders. The Lord will do wonders among you. How many of you know the God of wonders can only do wonders? The God who's wonderful can only do wonderful things. Because it's in His character, church. That's who God is. All that can come out of Him is nothing but good. All that can come out of Him is love. All that can come out of Him is righteousness, peace, and joy, since that's what the kingdom of God is. Amen? Now, again, I love this when we talk about these words that are in the Bible, because I don't know about you, but unless you're actually reading the Bible, how many times did you use the word sanctify this week to somebody? Okay, here's another word that we probably, again, it's the same thing, but if sanctify is too Old Testament for you or too Bible for you, here's a word we might use today, consecrate. Consecrate yourselves. Purify yourselves. Because God's getting ready to do something big. And I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. I don't believe it's just words. Because I believe the God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, did wonders then, and God wants to do wonders today. God wants to show himself strong today. And Joshua tells the people, sanctify yourselves. Get ready for this big thing that God's getting ready to do. Well, why do we have to get ready if God's going to do it? I can hear the words of Kingsley already. Because God's in a partnership, amen? God has partnered with us in doing the God who has no limits has limited himself to us. Man, grasp that and understand that theology that is all through the Bible. That God always used a man or a woman to do his work. He could have done it. He could have spoke it. He could have proclaimed it. But he doesn't. He limits himself to us. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Limiting it to me? Dependent on me, God? Yes. It's like last week, I stood up in front of these prisoners. And again, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to do this prison ministry. And I stood up in front of these prisoners. And I said, Lord, I don't have anything to say to these guys. I don't relate to them. I don't know what's going on in their lives. And God stopped me. He said, but I do. And I'm going to use you to talk to them. I said, okay, God. And you know what? God is so faithful. And I began to preach, and I began to share the message of just believe. Just believe. And I tell you what, faith began to rise in that place. And before we know it, the altars were filled with men crying out to God. And it was such a sovereign move. And just so incredible. That's because God partners with us. God partners. We've got to catch this church. Sanctification. Let me give you a little definition or understanding of what it means to be sanctified. Sanctification is the process of being set apart for something holy. Sanctification is the process of being set apart. Everyone say set apart. For something holy. Now, the first time we see the word sanctify in the Bible, and I love always going back to Genesis, is Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. And notice what the first thing God says that he has sanctified. And God blessed the seventh day, and he, everyone say it with me, sanctified it. Because in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. And elsewhere in Scripture, this is really interesting, and it says, and God rested, and he was refreshed. This is the first time we see in the Bible this word sanctified. That God said he worked 7 days. He worked for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested and he sanctified it. And it is holy. And that's why it's so important that we still today, again, the God who never changes said the Sabbath is holy. Now, guess what? My Sabbath is different than your Sabbath. Because I get to work on the Sabbath. But if I don't have a Sabbath, if I don't keep a Sabbath, then Pastor Hartley is not getting the rest that he needs. Because God rested and he was refreshed on the Sabbath. And I need to rest and be refreshed also. Now, when I was bivocational, God graced me. Those 5 years that I was teaching every day in the school, and then I'd come home on Saturday, and I would work and prepare and get ready for Sunday, and then I would work on Sunday, and then Monday I would go back to work, and I said, God, you're going to have to grace me because I'm not getting my Sabbath. And he did. See, God understands these things. God understands when we have to work on the Sabbath or when things come up. He understands it. But listen, he has set the Sabbath apart. It is holy. Don't make it common, he said. Oh, by the way, of all the Ten Commandments that come with the death penalty, that one there came with the death penalty for breaking it. That's how important when God sanctifies something. And so we see this process of sanctification all through the Old Testament. God told Moses to go tell in Numbers chapter 11. God said, listen, tell the people to sanctify themselves, for tomorrow I'm going to give them meat. I'm going to cause the dove. And they didn't know how he's going to do it. They were totally, can you read number 11? They were totally confused. Moses said, well, are you going to take all the flocks and the herds and the land to feed the people? Or are you going to empty the sea and feed us the fish? I mean, how are you going to do it, God? And God said, you leave that up to me. I'm the miracle man. I'm the one with all the power and might and can do all things and make all things good. You just tell the people to get ready and sanctify themselves. And so here's what they did. They went, and this was their process of sanctification. We see this several times in the Old Testament, that they washed their clothes. That was a ceremonial outside cleansing. And then many times God asked them to restrain from intimacy with their spouses. And that was their process of sanctification. Now, it's kind of interesting. We see a little bit of that in the New Testament even. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and he's talking to husbands and wives, and he's explaining how important it is to them, to the husbands, your body's not your own, women, your wife, wives, your body's not your own, it is for your spouse. And then we come to verse 5. But do not deprive one another except with consent for a time. For what reason? To sanctify yourselves. To draw near to God. That you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. That you may partner with your God. That you may be intimate with your God during these times. That's what we're doing over these next 3 Mondays as we're preparing for our anniversary. And again, I'm so excited that our friend Mike Karen is coming to come and to celebrate with us our 6th anniversary and to share the word of the Lord and the thus saith the Lord, because this man is a prophet of God. I mean, he is absolutely, you know, I've been around some prophets. I didn't want to look them in the eye because these guys, you know, you look them in the eye the wrong way and they'll read your mail. And, you know, as a matter of fact, I have to tell this story. It's so funny. This one of the prophets I'm thinking about, Emmanuel Canastracy. I don't know if you've ever heard of this cat out of California. And he come to our missions conference and in the middle of it, he's a huge prayer line. I mean, there's like 350, 400 people at the altar of at our missions conference. And he comes up to me of all people. And he looks at me, and I look at him. I'm like, oh, no. And he says, thus saith the Lord. And he slaps me in the stomach and says, lose it. I'm like, really? I didn't appreciate that, prophet. Now, my Karen is not like that at all. He is not like that at all. Gosh, that was a long time ago, too. Took me a while to finally get there. Oh, but we separate ourselves. We partner with God during this time in prayer and fasting, abstaining. And again, what is it about fasting? What is it about saying, flesh, I'm putting you down. Flesh, I'm putting you down. So that God can rise up bigger in my life. We're not, again, some people look at fasting as like, oh, I'm going to torture myself. I'm going to you know, beat myself down in submission and go through this pain and agony. We can't look at prayer and fasting as pain and agony, church. Amen? It is for our spiritual growth. It's what causes us to be able to rise up. And to better hear the voice of God. More people say they have dreams and hear from God while they're fasting. Why? Why is that? It's because we're tuning ourselves in. As we sanctify ourselves, we're tuning ourselves in. So here's question number one this morning. Why do we need to be sanctified? Why do we need to be sanctify? Why do we need to have purification come into our life? Why do we need this drawing near to God? Well, here's what we do know. The opposite of sanctification is defilement and profaning. When we are defiled, when we are profaning, again, we're set apart for something that is holy. And so what happens is, as we go through the course of walking this earth, all of a sudden that which is holy starts to become quite common. And there's so much pollution out there, bless God. Amen. Any of you walked in some pollution this week? Polluted talk, polluted, contaminated, stinky stuff. Issues dealing with stuff that the world has to throw out there and the world has to offer. Guess what? It affects us. We don't think it does, but it affects us. One of the most interesting scriptures in the Bible, because you think about who needs to be sanctified. We read John chapter 17. John chapter 17, and Jesus is praying for his disciples, and he's praying for us today also. Do you know that? He was praying for his disciples in John 17, but I promise you this today, Jesus is praying to the Father for us today. And he starts his prayer off in John 17, verse 15. And this is how he's praying. Jesus says, Lord, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then he prays this over us, prays this over their disciples. Lord, sanctify them by your truth, because your word is truth. So what do we see here is one of the first steps to sanctification? Getting in the word. Again, fasting is not skipping meals. It is, but it's not. If that's all you do is skip a meal, it's just a diet plan. But we take that time when we would normally be eating, and we eat the bread of life. We dig into the Word of God, and we allow the Word then to start to wash, to clean this messed up brain of ours, and begin to saturate it with the truth. And when we allow the word to saturate us with the truth, we are being sanctified. And then Jesus says something that just blows me away. And for their sakes, for us, Jesus says, I sanctify myself. Woo. If Jesus needed sanctifying, do you think we might need to be sanctified from time to time? I'll be quiet in here. We do. Jesus said, Lord, for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that because he gets sanctified, because he is the Word in flesh, they also may be sanctified by the truth. Man, this is a wonderful message today. I was going to say, I'm preaching much better than you're amening today. So, because we walk in the world, because we're dealing with people all the time, and life is happening all around us, we become, and here's that word again we probably didn't use in our scripture this week, we become defiled. Now, scripture is very clear, though, to give us some hints on how we become defiled. So let's look at them. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. He says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. God's got some grace for us, church. But sometimes we fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up in us causes trouble. And by this, many are what? The root of bitterness springs up in us. How does the root of bitterness happen in us? We get cross with somebody. Somebody crosses us. they say something to us. They're not showing any love, and all of a sudden we get an attitude, just this little attitude. It starts off a little, doesn't it? Well, that wasn't very nice. Go home, and the more you think of it, well, that really wasn't very nice. And next thing you know, and you talk about growing up fast, talk about a weed that all of a sudden can just go, whoom, this root of bitterness. And all of a sudden, we are now defiled. Do you think Jesus ever got offended by the way he was treated? That's why he needed to be sanctified. Because he was, again, we understand Jesus is 100% man, 100% God. But that 100% man needed sanctification because he got offended. And because they blasphemed him. Because they made fun of him. Because all these things happened to Jesus. And so Jesus, the man, needed sanctification. Jesus, the God, is perfect. He don't need no cleaning up. He's holy. Sanctification, set apart for something holy. James chapter 3. He's going to jump in and trample us all down, isn't he? And the tongue, everyone say the tongue, is a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among ourselves that it, what? It defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. The tongue, our tongue, because of an attitude, then our tongue gets into it, and Scripture says that our tongue then defiles the whole body. And all of a sudden we blurt something out and we say something and it's that, and you're like, where did that come from? Well, part of it's garbage in, garbage out. Amen. But part of it is we are in a fallen world. And the world begins to rub off on us. And so from time to time, what do we need to do? Get sanctified. Get set apart. Say, you know what? I'm going to. Because we're going to see, that's what Jesus did. He withdrew. Had to get away from folks. Spend some time with his heavenly Father. Now, Wednesday night, I had a great youth service. Gosh, it was awesome. And the Lord led me to Mark chapter 5, and you can turn there. And I was preaching, and there was such a strong anointing that night on the Word of God. And we get to this story in the middle of Mark chapter 5. And Jesus is starting off going to Jairus' house. And before he can get to Jairus' house, though, this throng of people is around Jesus. And the only way my natural mind can understand it, I told the youth Wednesday night, is a couple of years ago I was at the Byron Nelson. And I was following Phil Mickelson. And it was just having a great time. But all of a sudden, this throng of people, thousands, come down the fairway. And I'm like, what in the world? The guy goes, Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods. And I'm like, okay, well, guess what? Can you imagine yourself being in the throng following Jesus? Amen? And here's this throng of people, thousands of people, and they're all following Jesus. And all of a sudden, a woman in that crowd, and the Bible says that she had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she said she went to the doctors, and the doctors did all they could, and no offense over here. He's in the nursery. Bless you, James. We love you so much. It says everything the doctors did made her worse instead of better. But she said, but if I may just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I know I will be made well. She made a statement of faith. And then she followed up on her faith, because faith without works is dead. She followed up on her faith, and she reached, and she snuck in, and she pushed. Because, again, everybody's wanting. Can you imagine? Everybody's wanting to be around Jesus. Everyone wants a little bit of Jesus' time. Everybody's wanting to catch some of the excitement. What miracle is he going to do next? What's he going to do next? And this lady's like, yeah, you don't even have to pray for me, Jesus. I just want to just touch and get just a touch. And if I touch you, that'll be good enough. And she touches him. And Scripture says, as soon as he touches Jesus, immediately her problem goes away. I mean, it's an immediate healing. And Jesus stops. Kind of like Flo in that commercial. And Jesus stops and he asks his disciples, who touched me? And the disciples are like, what? What do you mean, who touched you? Look at all these gazillion crazy followers of your Jesus. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, I don't say virtue. And Jesus, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned around and asked, who touched me? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, when you go and told the disciples and you tarry in Jerusalem, it says, and you shall receive virtue. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Virtue went out of Jesus. Power, some of your Bible says, went out of Jesus that day. When we separate ourselves and we sanctify ourselves, this was amazing as I was studying this. In the column there, as I was studying, it said, and people who want to be sanctified, virtue is one of the main components that happens when we are sanctified. Power is one of the main components that happens in our lives when we are sanctified. And I began to go back a year. And there we were in that small group. And we get the phone call from San Antonio saying, listen, your dad's not doing quite so good right now. As a matter of fact, we're thinking about maybe taking him to hospice tomorrow. I said, Mom, don't worry. It's going to be okay. God's in control. I'll be there by tomorrow. I'll be there tomorrow by lunch. In my small group, there's a drum machine going on somewhere. Anyone here besides me? I don't know where it's coming from. I think it's the nursery. Okay. And my small group said, Pastor, you give so much. It's time for us to give and pass on to you. Remember that, Thomas? I remember your wife's voice. I remember your voice, Nick. Isaiah, you remember that, praying for me? And they began to pray. And I didn't realize it at the time, but guess what was coming out of them? Power. Virtue was being poured into my... I didn't even know I needed to be well. I didn't know what was going to happen. I had no idea that I needed strength, that I needed power in my life. But you know what? My small group started praying for me, and they started speaking over me. And again, at the time, I just know that I felt this incredible sense of the presence of God coming out of my small group as they begin to pray for me. And I'm like, whoo, that was unbelievable. I had no idea. 24 hours later, my dad was going to be gone. And that I needed to be there for my mom. And I needed to be able to have strength. And I needed to have the grace of God on me to pour out on my mom what was going through. Man, I'm so thankful for the power of God today. Amen? I'm so thankful for the... this virtue, this is what's so cool about. The virtue is the inherent character of God. Virtue is the inherent character of God that comes out of him. You know why it could come out of Jesus? Because he was sanctified. Because he knew the process and what it took to be able to release virtue, to be able to release dunamis. That's the Greek word for dynamite. It's the Greek word right here. It's the Greek word for, and you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Dunamis. It's the exact same word used 120 times in the New Testament. And God says, I've got some power for you, church. I've got power that I want to release in you. Let's close this morning. Luke chapter 5. Turn over to Luke chapter 5. I want you to see how it worked in Jesus' life. And this is what I'm believing over the next 3 weeks. That there is, as we draw near to God, and He draws near to us, and we're separating ourselves, and we're being set aside for something holy. Not common. It's holy. Amen? Amen. That God is going to absolutely pour out His Spirit. Verse 15 of Luke chapter 5. Because again, we're seeing this exact same word, virtue, come out in Jesus. And why did it come out? However, the report went around concerning Him all the more. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Him of their infirmities. And because of the multitudes and the people that gathered around Him looking for help. So He Himself often, how, when? All the time. Withdrew Himself in the wilderness and prayed. And we know in another account in the New Testament that Jesus withdrew himself for 40 days. Not just to pray, but to do what? Fast. There's power in fasting. We don't talk about it a lot. We don't like to do it a lot because it is. Our flesh is not happy about this decision. Our spirit man is going, woohoo. It's getting excited. The spirit man says, you're going to feed me like you haven't fed me in a while. And I am going to be so strong in the spirit. And it'll affect every aspect of our life. It's going to affect our services. It's going to affect just everything we do. And Jesus knew that. He said, he withdrew Himself into the wilderness and He prayed. Verse 17, and it happened on a certain day after He withdrew and prayed that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, the mockers, the scoffers, the offenders. And they had come out of every town from Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem. And everyone say, in the power of the Lord. There it is. Dunamis. And the power of the Lord was present to heal all of them. Man, sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord is going to do great wonders. Stand with me this morning. I'm just a little excited about this. Now, if you can't do a full day of fasting, can you do a meal? Again, see, God doesn't get tied down with the legalism of, oh, you gotta, oh, you know. And again, we're not doing a 21-day Daniel fast, you know. You know, I mean, again, if God calls you to do those type of things, that's awesome. But all I felt like in my heart as I was driving on that road to San Antonio and coming back, and again, it was all stirred by this emotion of my small group praying for me, and virtue went out of them. Power went out of them into me. Even though I didn't know I needed it. God knew I needed it. Just like God knew you needed it this morning. Hello? God knew you needed some power, some virtue. His inherent character released into your life this morning as your friends and family laid hands on you and prayed this morning. And that's what I believe happened. It was like a reenactment of my small group all over again. It was so powerful this morning to see people laying hands and releasing the power of God. Father, we thank You this morning. Let's just begin to thank Him for His power and His presence. Father, we thank You this morning. Lord, that You are no respecter of persons. Father, I thank You this morning as our church's heart is to be set apart and to draw near to You so we can partner with You to do something wonderful, something fresh in Wood County. Lord, something great. Lord Jesus, wouldn't it be great as we go out and we're doing this fish fry, feeding this, that the power of God shows up and there are folks there who are lame and folks there who need a miracle and the power of God is released right there at that feeding of the community. Father, we're believing, we're letting our faith rise today as we partner with You, Lord, to see great things because You can only do great things. It's Your character, oh God. Father, we thank You for that this morning. God, we thank you, Lord, as these next few weeks as we set ourselves aside to pray, Lord, and to fast. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are going to partner with us. God, that there's going to be a cleansing. There's going to be a purification, Lord, that comes over ourselves, Lord. Lord, as we're being set apart, Lord, for something holy. Now, you need to see yourself as holy this morning. God says you need to see yourself as holy. You're holy. You're valuable. You are precious to him. And, Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, that every person this morning hearing this, Lord, those who are not with us this morning as they listen to this message, God, they will understand how precious we are to you. Lord, just thank you, oh God, for this time that we've had today. Amen. Now just thank the Lord for what he's spoken in your heart this morning. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord, you sanctify us through your word. Part of coming to church today, this was part of our sanctification process, is having the word being spoken to us, oh God. And Lord, we know that that's part of being sanctified. We thank you for it. Lord, thank you for this word. Watch over to perform it, oh God, I pray. Lord, I thank you. Seal this word now. And everyone say, in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you. And may the God of peace soon crush Satan under your feet. We're just